This morning we come to Romans, continuing our study of this fabulous epistle and book to the Romans, still in Paul's extended introduction, really, and very personal introduction. Paul can't even say hello without preaching the gospel. Thank you, kids, by the way. Your pastor's pals worksheets were wonderful last week. I got lots of them. I hope to see a lot more at the door today. It's a joy to see how the children, and with the help of their parents, are learning to interact with God's word and benefit from the sermon as they grow up and mature. One of the most famous expositors and Christian leaders and pastors of the 20th century was James Montgomery Boyce. And it took him 8 years and 239 sermons to get through Romans. Similar with Martin Lloyd-Jones and John Piper as well. And Boyce said this, "The most important book in the New Testament, probably in the entire Bible, and certainly the most influential letter in all history or the world's literature is Romans." Boyce also said the following, "Christianity has been the most powerful, transforming force in human history. And the book of Romans is the most basic, most comprehensive statement of true Christianity." I mean, not to steal from tonight's potential thunder or focus, but far more than full stadiums and massive prayer rallies, this nation needs the book of Romans. That's the true gospel. The true gospel isn't just assuming we're all saved and we just need to get back to God. Most people don't know God because they've never been reconciled to him through the true gospel. And they need to hear the true gospel, and we need to stop assuming that everyone's already saved. They need Romans. They need to know the message of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, or they are damned and doomed without the true gospel. Romans has transformed nations. Romans has brought lasting results that have borne fruit for generations to come and doesn't just leave people hollow 6 weeks later. We need Romans. We need churches that will stand for sound doctrine and take people back to the true gospel that saves, that revives, that transforms at every level of the individual and the nation. We need to ask a preliminary question as we get into Romans that we didn't get to last time. And when you approach any book of Scripture, what is the setting? To whom was Paul writing, and where were they located and living? Remember chapter 1, verse 7, where we ended last week? To all who are beloved of God in Rome. And verse 15, we're going to see in the coming weeks, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Here we are, the capital city of the empire. It's founded on the seven hills on the eastern side of the Tiber River, stretching as the capital city of a massive empire, stretching from Britain all the way to Arabia at the time, the Roman Empire. And here in the capital city, they had easily over 1 million people, many being slaves. Rome was a wealthy, cosmopolitan city, diplomatic center, the cultural center, the trade center of the world. It was a city adorned with some of the most famous architecture in history, some of the ruins of which you can still see there today, the Emperor's Palace, Circus Maximus, the Forum, and so forth. While at the time, much of the city lived in the slums and had little or no access to any of those places. Rome was notorious for its wickedness and immorality. Ancient writers describe Rome as severely overcrowded, loud, and smelly. Rome was a place that provided every virtue and vice known to mankind. Rome was known as both the crown of human achievement and the sewer of human depravity. Religiously, Rome was a place where every nationality, every cult, every sect found a home and had a sponsor, you could say, and had a station. You could find in this one city temples to the following on basically every corner: Mars, Saturn, Castor, Pollux, Vesta, Venus, Roma, Apollo, and Jupiter. Or, if that confused you, you could just trek over to the monumental domed Pantheon and worship all the Roman gods at the same time. A catch-all. How convenient. Imagine planting a church in such